If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
More than 100,000 Irish homes added a dog to the family during the pandemic, and that's according to a new survey. The Ipsos MRBI study suggests that the country's dog population now exceeds 1 million. Can you believe that? 1 million. Mairead Leahy from Arravets in Tipperary Town joins me now. Mairead, good morning to you.
Morning, friend.
That's an incredible figure, isn't it? 1 million.
Yeah, I would believe it, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any slowdown, really, since this time last year. When I remember talking to you even about it this time last year, where I was like, whoa, there's a lot of puppies. And there hasn't really been a slowdown of it. And I also haven't seen the fallout that we did kind of expect, you know, where people would be looking to rehome again because they're gone back to work. But I think maybe that environment is changing as well, and that home situation. I think people see themselves working from home for a long time to come. I think that might be changing as well.
Mm. So largely it's worked out, even though there's still a lot of people, Mairead, to go back to work yet. And we may see elements of that in the coming months.
Yeah, you see, we've been pretty much in lockdown since March, if you think about it, last year. So we haven't really reached that point where normal has returned for people. But I don't know. I think a lot of people that worked in offices and that may not be going back to that situation.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. I think that might change. A lot of people will work from home going forward.
Right. So those crazy prices we're seeing for dogs, will that continue on?
I suppose supply and demand is the main issue here. But until the consumer, families and everyone that's paying that money for it stopped spending that money on it, I don't think the prices will fall. I'm always trying to educate people about it. Like, if you are paying a price for a dog and you're buying your retrievers and you're buying things like that, like, you need to get the proper certificates off the people that are breeding them. We've had a few sad stories here where puppies that were bought spent a lot of money on them, and they're coming into us for physio and for hydrotherapy and all that at a year old because they have hip dysplasia and they have elbow dysplasia. And I'm seeing that from all over the country because we have the physio centre here. So, like, we had a dog up from Tullamore the other day that's only a year old, big money spent on him, and he has hip dysplasia, really bad hip dysplasia.
So tell me about that then. What is the cause of that? What's the cause of that?
So, in general, it's genetic. So both parents, when you're buying a Labrador or a Retriever or any of those kind of large breeds, both of their parents should be hip scored and have an official certificate with their hip score written on it. But this isn't really happening in most cases in Ireland. The proper people, you know, the proper breeders and that are doing it, and they'll give you the hip score of the dog. But the breeders that are just breeding them at the minute, you know, for money, essentially, really, don't have the hip scores done, which can mean they're breeding off to a mum and a dad who both have bad hips or bad elbows. Therefore, their puppies will have bad hips and bad elbows.
Right throughout their lives.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, like some of these puppies that are coming in will suffer with arthritis right up until a time when a decision may have to be made about their quality of life.
My God. I was reading some articles over the weekend as well, Mairead, about behavioural problems in dogs. Because, of course, you know, they need, I suppose, to be exposed to a range of people from an early age. And with lockdown and one thing and another, they're not. But they may be in the very near future. Is there danger to that, then, that they might be?
Yeah, they're vets across the country are talking about, say, last year's puppies that are coming back into vet clinics now for their one-year-old, you know, health check and booster vaccine and that. And the puppies they're 1 year olds now, they're adolescents, they're, you know, they're going into adulthood. They're not socialized. They're afraid of everything. They don't know strangers. So there is that element. The other element that's there is we're seeing an increase in infectious diseases. Like, we're seeing an increase across the country in parvo, and we're seeing an increase across the country in kennel cough. I had three very sick dogs in this week with kennel cough. And the reason for that is because everyone was at home, nobody was meeting, no dogs were meeting on their walks, really. You know, you had to keep your 2 meter distance and all that. Whereas now people are starting to get out and about again, and the infectious diseases have risen dramatically across the country because with this as well.
My God. The other thing, if the dogs are not socialised properly, is there a danger that they might be biting and the like when they do come across other
people?
We've
already had one or two in here that we've had that situation where they're... We've had where they've started, being a little bit aggressive in that. It's more fear, though, and anxiety in the dog. They're not vicious or anything, but they're all at a level of fear, anxiety and stress that we don't really want in young dogs. They're anxious. They don't know what a car on the road is. They don't know, all these different things. They don't know what a man with a walking stick is versus someone on a walking frame, a wheelchair, all these kind of things that would have been normal for them to see before. They're not seeing what they are now. Maybe a young kid, they mightn't have seen a young kid.
Right.
Those kind of things. So there's a level of fear and anxiety there.
So they may react to that then negatively in some way. Yeah.
And the best thing that anyone can do at this point is try and get onto a dog trainer at the minute just to give them guidance on how to introduce their dog to lots of different things. The other thing is separation anxiety. That's a huge issue.
Yeah.
People working from home, dogs sitting in the same room as them 24/7 and not spending any time alone. So they don't learn what it is to be alone because they've never needed to be alone. But now... we're seeing that kind of come across where the owner's like, I can't leave my dog for 10 minutes to go to the shop, and they have the place absolutely destroyed,
So how do you get around that, Mairead? Or are these habits already formed now?
They're already formed, but you know, it's never too late, and you can start, starting really slowly by closing the door of the room that you're working in, not having them sitting in that room all the time. Giving them 5 minutes of alone time in their crate or in their little area, that they can't cause any damage to them or to your, furniture and everything else. Mm. I'm only talking about 2-3 minutes, and building it up slowly. The dog doesn't have to be with you 100% of the time. Obviously, if that's going to be your home situation and you can be with your dog 100% of the time, that is no issue, then that's completely fine. But if it's becoming an issue where you can't leave the dog to go to the shop and it's destroying the house, then you're running into difficulties. Do you want to be able to leave your dog at a kennel? Do you want to be able to leave your dog in the house while you run to the shop or run and collect the kids? Mm-hmm. If you do, then you're going to have to start training them for that.
Can I drag you into the conversation that seems to be occurring on the programme every second day, which is that of dog poo around the place? And now we're hearing about Leitrim County Council that they're going to bring in, can you believe, DNA testing of dog poo to help identify the offenders. What do you make of this?
I think fair play to them. I'm not really sure how they're actually going to physically do it because that sounds quite labour-intensive,
And how do you match it up and all
that? They're going to have to get DNA swabs of the offending piece of poo on the ground and get DNA from dogs and build a database. But getting DNA from dogs, the simplest way is a saliva swab, I'm guessing. But, that's still going around to every dog that's out walking and asking to take a swab off their dog and then running it. So I don't know, even from a cost point of view, how effective that is.
Or a legal point of view.
Not sure. I wonder if it'd be more cost effective to have, across maybe 2 or 3 weeks, have more litter wardens or someone out and about just catching people on the spot, And I think this kind of we don't have enough bins, you can have 100 bins, but people will still not pick up the dog poo. I see it inside here, outside our door. A dog will poo and they'll look around and they'll walk on, I don't know if having more and more bins will solve the problem. Obviously, it's not nice to carry a little bag around with you all the time, but there are special leads you can get that you can pop it into, a little case or whatever like that. I'm not sure if that whole thing of there isn't enough bins will solve the problem.
Of course. Well, we heard a story on the programme last week. Would you believe this, Mairead, that there's people going around that they will actually pick up the poo, put it into the plastic bag, and then throw away the plastic bag?
That's very helpful.
What kind of thinking is that,
Yeah, and we're going to see it more and more during the summer because people are going to get out and about and people are dying to get out and about and everyone has a dog now and, look, at the end of the day, it's that person's responsibility. And I think if they're not going to bend down and pick up the poo, they're not going to do it. Whereas if you have someone out there and a few fines are issued on the spot to people as it's happening, that word will very quickly get around. But I'm presuming with the DNA thing, people can refuse to have their dog swabbed. I know what it's like trying to put kennel cough in some dog's nose, but I wouldn't fancy putting, you know, a swab into a dog's mouth. Do you know what I mean? It's not all...
Absolutely. What about the risk to human health if the poo is left around as well? I mean, is there E. coli?
There's a risk of worms, especially for kids. There is evidence there that... Well, like, definitely kids can get worms from it, but there are different types of worms that can cause more problems in children. But, like, just the cleanliness of it, like, you know, I just think I've stopped walking up the hills with my kids up in Tipperary Town because you just, like, you'll just come home with it on your shoes and everything because people are just not cleaning up. And there's a risk to other dogs. Like, we've seen dogs coming in here quite sick. I don't know if it's from dog poo or what, but, you know, because... people aren't cleaning up.
It's amazing, isn't it? And in terms of opening up then, what does that mean to you and when can you have people in? Because I know you've had some restrictions in place.
So we were stopping people coming into the consult rooms. Our consult rooms, you know, we can't have the 2 metre distancing. But since I moved into the new building, our reception is lovely and open. So we are letting people into reception. I also have a new room opened. It's quite a large room. So if we do need to have clients in with us, they can come in and join us in that room. I think as the population becomes the public, you know, the people that are coming in now to us become vaccinated, and hopefully we'll be allowed to get vaccinated soon as well. I think, you know, sure, we should be allowed to lift a lot of the restrictions coming in. I can't wait till we can have owners beside us again, you know, treating their pets.
Well, we can't wait for that either. Mairead, it's always a pleasure. Look after yourself and thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, that's Mairead there from Aravets in Tipperary Town, live from her brand new premises there on the Limerick Road. Very impressive premises as well.